Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event. Able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
Gentlemen.
What?
Dave, do you have to make the same dad jokes every time?
Yes.
Have you learned that yet?
When I find a bad joke I like, I stick with it. Why do you think we've been doing this for 2 years? Hey, everyone. You're listening to Superhero Speak. And I'm your host, Dave.
And Ben.
And Sick. I mean, John.
And, oh my God, did you see that go by? It was a red streak.
Sorry. It's bad week for me. Digestive issues.
No, I think this week we're talking about the Flash finale.
Oh, you mean that that guy who goes into space and fights weird space pirates?
Yes, Ming the Merciless and all those people.
Yes.
Yes, yes. That was a great show. It was on Spike. Did everyone watch that?
I remember that. I saw it when it first came out in the theaters. I'm old.
No.
That was a good movie.
Oh, you mean The Flash?
Yes, we're talking about
with John Wesley's ship and Mark Hamill as the trickster and
although a little Ming the Merciless would make the show better.
Oh my God. No, we're talking about the new one that was on this year with
Right, that's what I meant. With John Wesley's ship and Mark Hamill as a trickster.
Well, that's true. We did get Mark Hamill as the trickster this year. And Captain Cold and Gorilla Grodd.
I still hold that Ming would make it better.
You would. You say a lot of crazy things, John. That's why we keep you around.
Oh, good grief.
So we really haven't talked about the show too much on the podcast. Our short-lived video show, we talked about the premiere of The Flash.
We did.
Way back in the beginning of the TV
show. The show came and went so fast.
In a flash.
Ha, ha, ha. Oh, my gosh. I've never heard these before.
And, I'm going to point out that in the very beginning of the season, when we recorded that, I had made a prediction about the show. That they were going to follow the Flashpoint storyline from the comic books, or Flashpoint Paradox directed DVD movie that came out shortly after the comic was released. And I would say for the majority of the season, it seemed like they were following that storyline. They were building up to that. And yet, they took a left turn at the end of the season on us.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Right into a brick wall while Wile E. Coyote was laughing his ass off.
I would argue that they made a smart left turn, but we can get into the details of it as we move on here.
Yes. So, I mean, let's talk a little bit about the show in general since we really haven't talked about it much on the podcast. So, it stars Grant Gustin as Barry Allen, the Flash. I really like him. As Barry Allen, I think the direction that they went with the character on the show and how it was written, he's done an excellent job of portraying him. So what do you guys think?
I agree. I think that it's he's definitely, I mean, I liked him even when he first showed up on Arrow last season, just as Barry Allen. I found him to be an interesting character. And I think it definitely was it was a good portrayal that I think it'll be interesting to see how they evolve that. I always picture Barry being a little bit more confident, a little bit more cocky. But maybe that's something we'll see transform over time.
Right.
Well, he is a little bit cocky because he's had his ass handed to him quite a few times on the show. I mean, you normally, if he had listened to Oliver a lot more, or if he'd known Oliver before, he wouldn't have had that happen. But he really is playing up the part of being the, you know, the, hey, look, I'm the Flash. I can do this. I can do anything. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, look, brick wall.
Yeah, like, I will say with the Pied Piper episode, he definitely came off cocky in the beginning of that when he was going after after the Pied Piper, and when he first went up to him, it's like, ah, I'm the Flash.
Yeah, and I will say that he's been a little on the reckless side off and on throughout the season. You know, in people that he's exposed his identity to without thinking twice about it, to you know, when there was that what was it, the rainbow whatever weird dude, the emotion weirdo, who
basically oh, that's right. Turned, that, yes, he had people feel rage. Yes.
Yeah, and made Flash rage out and be a bit of an asshole for a bit.
Right.
So that was sort of an unusual turn. So yeah, he's definitely a little bit fast and loose at times. But I think he's grounded a bit, that he does feel a sense of responsibility to those around him as the hero does.
Right.
Let's be frank here. Without him as the Flash, without that actor, this wouldn't have worked. I think the casting picked the exact right person for it.
Yes, yeah. No, I definitely agree with
that. Yeah.
I mean, and as much as I like the original Flash series with Wesley Shipp, it doesn't have the same, it just doesn't feel as close to the comics, you know? The personality, yeah, and the reaction and just the emotion that he shows.
Well, that was one of the I mean, the original show was criticized a lot in the by comic book fans because, you know, they did go away from the comic books a lot in that. So, yeah, I mean, they've definitely this time around have said, no, they're not canon, obviously, but they're a lot closer to the comics than the original one was. Yes. And then, of course, we have Iris, who is portrayed by... Candace Patton portrays Iris West, who fans of the comic books know that she eventually becomes his wife, which is interesting because there's something that's obviously a left turn from the comic books right away. A separation from canon is when his mother's killed, spoilers, at the beginning of the show, Detective Joe West takes him in to raise him, a friend of the family, whose daughter is Iris, and they grow up together. Not necessarily as brother and sister. They don't ever portray them to have a brother-sister type relationship.
Well, they kind of do. Like, they obviously they're not brother and sister, but they kind of treat each other that way, especially Iris treating Barry that way, even though Barry's...
Right.
Clearly has a long-standing crush. You know, Iris has always seen him as sort of his adoptive brother, you know, for a long time.
Yeah, that's true. She keeps the distance. She's
friend-zoned him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Permanent friend-zoned.
Even though she supposedly had feelings for him the whole time.
Actually, I think perhaps. It's a new term. It's brother-zoned now, right?
I guess
so. Hashtag brother-zoned.
Bro-zoned.
Bro-zoned. That sounds worse.
Yes. that's what they do down in the South. But anyway, and then the other thing they kind of did that's different in this series is, okay, so we all know that one of the things they've been doing, especially in the DC shows, is the hero can't stand on their own. They have to have a team behind them. Woohoo!
Right. They need some tech support and, you know, someone to sort of keep them honest.
Yeah, well, we know that comes directly from Buffy, where you just can't be a hero unless you have your Scoobies.
I guess so. But, I mean, Smallville did it as well, and I don't know how much they borrowed directly from Buffy from that.
But
just the dynamic, I think. And the monster of the week, and the no costume.
Easy writing.
Yeah.
So in the Arrow, we have Diggle and
Felicity.
Felicity, thank you. As the backups, who are...
And eventually Roy Harper.
Right. But those two start out, and they're essentially characters that were created for the show. They don't have a lot of... Diggle isn't in the comic books at all, and I don't think Felicity is either.
Well, Diggle has no comic canon, but Felicity Smoke does actually have... a comic canon typically associated with Firestorm, but obviously they're not honoring that version of the canon.
No. Where in this universe we got Caitlin Snow and Cisco as the sidekicks who are both characters from the comic books.
Slash Witty Banter.
I want to know how they're going to work out that one becomes Killer, what is it?
Killer Frost. And the other one. And the other one becomes Vibe.
Yeah, it just...
Well, they did hint at that in the finale a bit. That they explained an odd hole that they had earlier in the season, I think, fairly well. Like, I did always sort of bother me that those... Like, that Cisco kept having those little visions. Like, what that was... tethered to, or why that made any sense to have those shadow memories of a alternate timeline.
Because he's dead in every universe, and this is the only one he isn't dead, or something like that. Because, you know, of course, you know, Vibe is DC's ultimate whip boy, where they just, every once in a while, somebody resurrects him because the character's been dead for a while now, just to play around and, you know, use him against the Justice League or whatever, but he always stays dead afterwards.
It's like the kind of like the Vision in the Marvel Universe. I would say in the last 15, 20 years, like, he gets killed in strange ways and then just comes back later on. And, like, no one bats an eye when he gets killed.
Always am.
And the leader of this ragtag team is Dr. Harrison Wells, who we find out during the process of the show, spoilers. And for those who know us, know that we're going to heavily spoil the Flash TV show. So if you haven't watched
we're going to spoil the whole damn season. So if you haven't watched it, just stop listening now and go watch it.
Right. Or if you don't care about spoilers, keep listening. Dr. Harrison Wells, we find out, is really, how do you say it? Elabor?
Eobard Thawne.
Who is?
Distant relative of Eddie Thawne from the future.
Right. So.
Oh, and also the Reverse Flash.
And also the Reverse Flash. So. Again, another character in canon who you don't realize until later on. The real wild card in the whole bunch is Eddie. Eddie Thawne, who is a distant relative of the Reverse Flash, or so he says. So that's the setup of the show. You know, I like the show a lot. One of the things they said at the beginning of the show is, and they stuck to this, and it irritates some fans. But he starts off the show with saying, I want you to do something for me. I want you to believe in the impossible. And then boom, the show took off and they've kept it a comic book show in the truest sense of all the shows that are on TV, where a lot of things they don't worry about how realistic is this. It's just fun, you know, all the way up to Gorilla Grodd, who is a psychic killer gorilla with human intelligence.
Yeah, but there's keeping it well realistic, and there's keeping it comic book, and then there's walking the fine line, and I think they've done a good job, because it could be worse. I mean, a lot of the stuff they did in Smallville was like the plot holes, the Deus Ex Machinas, you know, whatever.
They relied way too much on meteor rocks in that show as the explanation for everything. And granted, we do have a similar origin of everything being the particle accelerator accident. I think it's a little bit more of a grounded source. We've only have one powered villain so far that wasn't directly powered by it in the canon so far, and that was Deathbolt. Everyone else has had their abilities drawn from that accident, or like Captain Cold and Heatwave just have weapons. So
right, but they have weapons that were created by Cisco. So their origins are still
the magical creator of things.
Right.
Yeah, even though the writing is pretty good, there's still the confluence of everybody comes from the same place and knows each other.
Yeah, but it's a more scientific origin, I think, than what Smallville did. It's funny because as far as that line of grounded reality and comic book fantasy, you know, Dave and I are on opposite sides of that line, because I wants them to be a little bit closer to that grounded side, and Dave wants them to skirt further into that fantasy realm, and so we're constantly at odds there. Like Gorilla Grodd, I kind of felt was a step too far in my mind. There's a bunch of things that bugged me throughout this season that I felt like were just a little step too far into the fantastic. Like they never explain some of the things like how he can run up walls or how he can save someone at high speeds without giving them whiplash or having them explode into particulates of crap. Those types of things. Like they never really give you some sort of grounded explanation as to why that works.
Ben, okay. I need you to do something. I need you to believe
in
the impossible.
I know. I'm not going
to
do it.
There's something. Yes, I understand because I'm usually that way about stuff like this, but this is the Flash. Got him some slack. Hey, at least they didn't go, what was it? Gorilla City? Was it Gorilla City? Or is it Ape City? Gorilla God, God's original.
Oh, yeah.
So they could have done that, but no, they gave him more of a scientific explanation. He was affected by the experiments.
And I'm okay with the fact that his communication method is psychic rather than actually having a talking ape. But, I just want them to try. That's all. I want them to try to explain these things scientifically. They have a team of scientists at hand. Like, pretty much everyone in the team is a scientist.
That is true.
You know, Barry Allen is a forensic scientist. Harrison Wells is a scientist. You know, Caitlin Snow and Sisko are both very good scientists. Even Ronnie Raymond is no slouch, nor is his other half. Whatever his name is, I can't think of it right now. Professor whatever. Poof and Blots. So, you know who I'm talking about.
Martin
Stein. That guy.
Yes.
Martin Stein. You know, you have all these genius scientific minds, and not one of them can just sort of explain how these things work.
You want them to turn to the camera every once in a while and go, so no, see, kids. But this is what happens when you run up a wall.
They do explain it, but they don't. They take it one step early. You know, they explain it just a little bit, but not enough. They say, yes, you scientifically, if you run at this speed, you can run up that wall. But they don't say why. That's all I want. I want them to take that next step and say why.
It's the same thing. One more thing.
Scientifically speaking, when you run at Mach 2, we don't have any fabrics that would actually stay on your body at that speed. So, you know, you're going to have to make some allowances. Especially since this comes from the comic books.
I understand.
And also, if you run at Mach 2, the gravity is going to affect you, and it's going to probably, you know, hurt you in some way or another.
Possibly.
If you hit a hydrogen atom going at Mach 2, I don't think you're going to create a wormhole. I think you're going to, you know, have a hole through you.
A hydrogen atom probably would just pass right through you, and you'd never even know, because it's a hydrogen atom, for crap's sake.
Yeah, that was actually one thing that bugged me a little bit. That, like, if he didn't hit that speed, he would die. It's a freaking particle. A single particle. That's not going to kill him. It'll either bounce off, or it'll pass through.
Yes, well, you know. Science.
Physics.
Science.
Because science. No.
Because science.
Yeah, and that's... And it's the same kind of thing where... You know, and Spider-Man has only paid this price once. You stop someone from suddenly falling by shooting a web around them. It's, you know, it's the sudden stop that kills you, the not actually hitting the ground.
She did hit the ground, though.
She did hit the ground.
Her head bounced. That was the... Right.
Okay.
And thanks for putting that in.
But the comics, it was never clear. In the comics, he never knew whether she died from the fall or whether she was dead in the first place, because she was quote-unquote unconscious when the goblin was holding her and dropped her. So he doesn't know if she was just unconscious and died from the fall, or if she was dead in his hands in the first place and there was nothing he could actually have done to save her. That's the canon of the comic.
But I'm saying in the world of physics, if you suddenly stop somebody who's falling off a 50-story building, even if you stop them at the 42nd floor, it's the sudden stop that kills them.
Right, exactly. It's not the fall, it's the stop that kills them. You're right.
So yes.
Just wanted to clarify, because we don't want the nerds to come correct our canon. We want to be right.
Well, that is
true. They're going to come correct us anyway. What are you talking about?
And speaking of talking apes, just a reminder... In our last episode, we had David Sobolov. Sorry, David. Who is the voice of Gorilla Grodd from Flash?
Sobolov.
So when you're done listening to this, go back and listen to that if you haven't checked it out yet. So science. We have this crazy finale.
So let's talk about the science of time travel.
Well. Before we get into the science of time travel, and please, I know you watch a lot of Doctor Who, but that's not really scientifically accurate either.
Here's the thing. Any time travel based show has a version of how time travel works that they stick to. The only example that I know of that doesn't stick to a consistent time travel model is Back to the Future. Their model is muddled. But most other models do have a clear, either closed or open loop model, where causal loops can exist, or causal loops can cause tangential, alternate realities.
All right. So first, let's talk about the setup. Okay. So we know, and again, I mentioned Flashpoint at the beginning of the episode. In the Flashpoint storyline, we find out that Reverse Flash killed Flash's mother when he was a kid. And in the story, he goes back and stops that from happening and saves his mother. But when he returns then back to the present, everything has changed. He's never been the Flash. The weirdest and most controversial change was Bruce Wayne was the one killed by Joe Chill, and it was
his father
who becomes Batman instead.
Yeah, and that one seems weird to me. That seems like a weird... I understand it's the whole butterfly, ripples type thing, but that seems a stretch. Let's not delve too deep into that weird.
So if I go back to the time of the dinosaurs and stomp on butterflies, will I win the lottery?
You will cease to exist.
Oh damn it! Okay, so you would win the lottery, but anyway. Yes.
On so many levels.
All right, let's wait a minute. Let's look at just hold on a second. As somebody who's been watching Doctor Who since like the 60s.
Yes.
Let me put it to you this way. As you mentioned, there are usually two theories. There's the verse theory or the single verse causality theory, right? So what you've got here is that when Eobard's father died, or grandfather, whoever he was in the line, when he died, one of two things should have happened.
Hello?
Either should point where the reverse flash had never shown up, John? Or things should have kept going and the reverse flash should have stayed there.
John? You broke up a bit, so we probably need to repeat that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
One of two things would have happened and then nothing.
Right. Well, yes, that's my thing. No. So one of two things happened. Either when Eobard's ancestor died, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Either the timeline should have reset, and meaning and that the reverse flash never showed up, or the timeline should have kept going and the reverse flash should have stayed there. It either wiped out the timeline because the reverse flash is the one who changed everything, or it's multiverse theory and that universe is on a separate track and the reverse flash would have still been there. So,
right. Yeah.
So what they did was they screwed them both. They did the wrong thing in both cases.
Well, they followed the Looper model. If you've seen the movie Looper, they have a fairly, so the thing with the causal, paradox type thing is to what extent does the universe clean up paradoxes? And like you said, in one model, there is no cleanup. There's, these paradoxes can exist and there is no consequence. So in that version, you have an alternate. You have Eobard Thawne can continue to exist because he has existed, even though Eddie killed himself and therefore erased a version of Eobard Thawne from existing, but not the version that's already there and caused the actions thus far.
Right, which on in that theory, the very picosecond that Eobard Thawne showed up in this timeline diverged with a new timeline, a new reality in which he was here. Meaning that if you get rid of his ancestor, it wouldn't affect this timeline because this timeline has him in here at that point forward, and it's set in that case.
Yeah, but right. I don't think those are the only two viable ways. Like I said, there's a third way that is a way that Looper tends to set things up, that there is a causal cost to events like that. When you have someone crossing the timeline, there is a ripple effect to those actions. So as a result, Eddie killing himself can and should, discontinue Eobard Thawne from existence. But because there's a causal connection to suicide, it will not erase any of the events prior to that point, which is what we saw in this show, and it's also how things worked out in the movie Looper, if you guys have seen that and are a fan of it. There was a scene like that towards the end, where basically the young version of this character gets rid of the old version who's chasing him by killing himself, and from that point forward, the old version ceases to exist. But none of the events prior to that undo themselves because it's causal. It's connected. It's sort of like Terminator. Terminator is one of those causal loops that is self-fulfilling.
Okay. All right. So here.
We're confusing Dave a lot.
Okay. So.
All right. Let's start with super string theory and work our way up to the quantum foam, shall we?
Quantum loop gravity.
Three, John.
Okay, so the first thing is I have never actually watched Looper, so it's a little lost on me, but I understand what you just said and how that fits it. But so the first point here is the actual show itself is a paradox, because if Reverse Flash never went to the past to kill Barry, he wouldn't have gotten stuck in the our time, and thus then he wouldn't have created the particle accelerator and created Flash.
Well, right? I disagree with that, because I think that's the ripple effect. First of all, his powers basically going on the fritz were probably a causal effect of the fact that he changed the timeline. The fact that he successfully changed the timeline in some way basically put into question his ability to have Speed Force powers at all. And that's why they were sketchy. They would come and go. Because basically every single little thing he did could either allow the timeline to create him that way or not. So he was being directly affected by every single action that he was influencing.
Okay.
So did you see Felicity Smoke in that red dress?
Yes.
So what I was trying to say...
Go ahead.
is that essentially it's a paradox, but it's not, because they do explain in the show that he sped up events, that he created Flash earlier than the Flash was actually created, which seems a little odd based around some of the timelines they established in the show.
And I kind of am of the impression that even if he successfully had gotten in that ship and went forward to the future to quote unquote return to his time frame, I don't think it would have been the way he left it. Like, I think he was being naive to think that he could go back to the way things were, because he's already created a ripple effect in so many ways that he can't undo.
Will that ripple effect fix the kind of terrible super team up that they had between him and Arrow and the Atom? or no, it wasn't the Atom. It was Firestorm. Sorry.
Wait, terrible team up?
It wasn't that. It was like, okay, let's have a fight. Oh, I've got my two friends. We fight. Oh, okay, my friends are gonna take off now. They were just like, he tagged them in.
Right. That's how superhero supervillain fights work. You can't go. It has to be evenly matched. So you can only go one on one at a time. It's a tag team.
And it's just like gentlemen's agreement. They show up and then they take off. That was it. It was like there was no job build done. Up. Yeah, it's job done. Just walk off and there you go. Yep.
Oh no,
see
no.
You, bye.
Firestorm stuck around though. Arrow's the one who left because he had business to take care of.
Every minute he's on screen costs them extra money.
Plus, he had some business to settle with, the League of Assassins. So, he was busy.
And he's got to go be Casey Jones in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, too. So, all of those things.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so that's going to be a hit. But anyway.
So that's going to happen.
Yes.
And there's nothing you can do to stop it unless you go back and kill a butterfly. But anyway.
Or Michael Bay.
Wait a minute. Can we erase Michael Bay from existence?
If only.
So, yes. Yeah, so
they'd find some way to replace him with a chimp.
So, we've jumped ahead to the whole causal loop craziness really at the end of the show, when we also didn't address that. So, he goes back in time to save his mother. And
fails.
And well, hold on.
He didn't fail. He basically told himself, "No, man, no."
So the first issue is there's a whole buildup of him, you know, should I or shouldn't I do it? You know, his adoptive father says, "Oh, go do it. This is what you've been working up to. You've been building up to this your whole life. This is what you were meant to do. It's why you became the Flash." And his biological father says, "Oh no, don't do it. You'll destroy everything that you've created." So he's conflicted.
And, right. Well, they had to fill in all that time that they cut out with all the fighting from the previous episode.
Yes. Essentially, they could have put them together, and yeah, we know. In fact, Caitlin and Firestorm get married by...
See how that works.
Yes. By Firestorm's other half.
Yeah, which, I like how they got married knowing that it might get undone as soon as the Flash went into the past.
Yeah.
Well, of course.
Well, you got to go with the timeline you have.
You know, it's
not the one you want.
Firestorm has a fear of commitment, so he figured, hey, this is the time to do it.
This may not be the timeline you need, but it's a timeline they deserve.
Yes. And, of course, Eddie was told by his great-great-great-grandson that, you know, oh, well, you know, you don't end up with
Iris. You don't get the girl and you don't amount to anything.
Right, and you don't amount to anything. So that made Eddie decide, oh, I'm not going to pursue things with Iris. And he breaks up with her. And it made it seem like, oh, Barry and Iris will get together. And then Eddie goes, ah, screw the future. Which is actually what they say, screw the future. I think we could sell that
pretty much. Sticker.
Yes.
I'm gonna live in the now, baby.
Live in the now, baby. Yes.
Bang. Oh well, there goes the now.
So then, okay, so he does the deadly experiment.
He does the deadly deed.
The deadly deed to create a wormhole by running at Mach 2 into an hydrogen atom, because we know that's how you create wormholes.
Of course, it's well established.
No, Star Trek used that several times, I'm sure.
Right. No, these things shot around the sun to create, to go back in time.
Right. Because
that's a very
hitting a hydrogen atom on the way. Didn't you know that?
Yep. Oh, is that
what's
how it
the
works?
Sun made of? Hydrogen atoms, damn it. Yeah.
That is true. So, and he goes back, and the plan is that he's going to wait for future Barry
to save himself.
To save himself, and then he'll go in and save the mob.
Right.
So it all goes to shit.
So to speak. So, and I have a theory about that.
Uh-oh.
And it complicates things even more. So here's my issue with that from a causal standpoint. So we have, it's important. Like, so they've established, I think, with most of the other actions that these causal events cause alternate realities to branch, right?
Right.
So in essence, so in that moment, the original moment, when Barry and Reverse Flash are Barry, I'm going to call him Barry Prime, the original Barry that should have existed, fighting with Reverse Flash in his living room, where Barry Prime saves himself and then Reverse Flash kills his mother. So that's two Barrys on the scene, right?
Right.
So at that version of Barry shouldn't have any awareness of the ripple effect of what his actions are causing at that point in time.
Right.
He was created 5 years later in history when the real Wells created the same accelerator and created the same accident. They created
Not
Flash.
Not true.
I'm basing all my assumptions on that. So just shut
up for a second. That you're talking about the version of the Flash that existed before Wells went into the past. Now that they're in the new timeline, that Flash is the Flash of the present.
What I'm saying is this. The Flash that was there initially is the Flash that was created without Eobard interfering in the timeline. And if so, that means he would have been created 5 years later in 2020 when the real Wells, Harrison Wells, made the same Star Labs accelerator 5 years later. Because that was one of the things that Eobard said, is that you're going to build a particle accelerator in 2020. I'm going to get it done faster. That was part of his whole thing, is basically he took over his life so he could do that sooner. He could accelerate the timeline. So we're led to believe that that version of Barry that he fought with had been created in 2020 instead of 2015.
Yes, that was before Wells changed everything.
Right. So what I'm saying is, so we have branches, right? So that's a branch point. So that version of Barry, you know, saved himself and then I guess went back to the future and in his branch and that branch ceased to exist. That branch was spawned off somewhere else and trimmed. And we're left with the branch going forward from that point, which creates our Barry, who is in the situation at the end of this, the season finale, who goes back in time to try to save his mother. So he's there, right? Again, Barry Prime should have no idea that he's coming. And yet there is a scene after Barry Prime saves young Barry, and then Barry Prime waves off our Barry from saving their mother. My theory is that's not Barry Prime, but that's a fourth Barry.
So we've broken the fourth Barry.
Yes, we've broken the fourth Barry. Because go with me for a minute here. Let's say there's a version of that where Barry goes back and he actually does save his mom, like in Flashpoint, and it creates that darker timeline, right? That version of the Flash is going to realize his mistake. He's going to realize he has to undo the damage he's created and all the things all the fallout from it. And he's going to go back again and stop himself. And that's the Barry I think we see holding up his hand and shaking him off.
So a darker Barry, also known as the Christopher Nolan version Barry?
Yes.
Right. Well, there are two things that support Ben's theory. And I'm sad to say, for a fourth Barry. The first thing that supports it is, if you're paying attention to the episode closely, Barry Prime, or future Barry, or whatever we're going to call him, has left the house with young Barry. Barry. And so he's not in the house. So he steps out. Where did he come from? I mean, I know he's the Flash and he can move at Mach 2. So right, he could be right back in there, but, in the original episode, we saw that he ran off after that. The future Barry, after he waves him off and our Barry doesn't save his mother. My God, this is so confusing. He disappears. Like, where'd he go? You know what I'm saying? I think because he went back again, stopped himself from saving his mother, that timeline ceased to exist.
Okay. Right, it got pruned.
Equally as interesting, but not supporting either of the eight versions of the 50 Barrys you guys are talking about, is Felicity Smoke in that red dress. Can we just talk about that?
That's true. Can we all just agree that we're all fourth barriers? And we'll move on.
It's going to happen, right? They're all going to be the same Barry, and the explanation is going to be, well, sorry, it's a fixed point in time.
That's a Doctor Who thing.
Yes.
Well, eventually there's going to be so many Barrys in that house. When his mother dies, it's just going to get crowded, and they're going to have a party. But yes. Anyway, I mean, it's the only thing is that he is in the brighter red suit with the white background, which that's Barry Prime's suit as well.
Right.
So, but yeah, no, someone I work with had pointed that out. Like, he disappeared after he stopped him. Mm-hmm. And
then shows up again, like, milliseconds later.
Well, no, he was out of the house, and then milliseconds later he shows up again. And then after Barry lets his mother die, the other Flash just disappeared. So,
yeah.
It lends credence to your theory, but then it's makes you go, well, wait a minute. So we're never going to see that alternate future?
Maybe not.
To those listening, there will be a quiz.
Yeah, we need to pull out a whiteboard and some dry erase markers and sketch this out for people.
Where's Doc when you need him?
Right. So I guess where my question lies is,
Marty, something's got to be done about your kids.
In the end, what action causes the previously stable wormhole that had closed to reappear and be unstable?
Well, okay, now wait a minute.
And here, for it to magically transition from being in the particle accelerator to being above it.
Well, we have another problem too. You saw that hat that came through, right?
Yes.
You know what?
Jay,
you know,
Eric.
We haven't touched on all the Easter eggs that were in the episode yet.
I don't know if that was an Easter egg though, because did you notice that Eobard Thawne said, "Oh,
that's my cue to leave."
Yeah. Okay. So he was going back to wipe out another Flash or every speedster.
Yeah, because he said he was going to the future, but maybe he wasn't. Maybe he had a different destination in mind.
And that would have been the past.
Okay, and that's another thing I like. By the way, you know, speaking of Doc Brown and Back to the Future, you know, they had time circuits to control where they went in time. Yes. But apparently, if you have the speed force and a hydrogen atom, you just need to think about the time you want to go to.
Right.
Oh, I'm sure he's hiding an oscillation overthruster somewhere in there.
Well, obviously there is some other way to control that, because we know that Rip Hunter is coming soon in his fancy Bubbles ship. For a new TV show spinning off next season.
Yes. Well, that is true, you know. Did you notice there's a flux capacitor in the back of that little ship? No. I'm sure they're going to get into the mechanics of quantum mechanics and time travel heavily in that show. So that makes me think, too. Like, right, he dropped the helmet comes out. Oh, I didn't even think about that. And he goes, that's my cue to leave. Was he actually going further in the past to stop the original Flash, who was never mentioned in the show previous to this episode?
Yeah, how can there be a previous Flash and no one ever knew about him?
Well, we know that the Justice League exists in this reality, because when they found the room with Eobard Thawne's costume and everything, they were questioning they asked the computer
Gideon.
About...
They're talking to Gideon.
Yeah, they're talking to Gideon, and Barry Allen cut Gideon off just as Gideon was about to say, founding member of the Justice League.
Yeah.
Right, but, well, we
the
know
Justice
that...
Society exists in this.
Well, we don't know that for certain.
We don't.
We know that the Justice League could eventually exist. That doesn't mean that we know that the Justice Society also exists, because technically the way they manage that in the comic universe is that they're actually two different, there's Earth 1 and Earth 2.
Right.
They didn't coexist on the same Earth, or at least not in current canon.
Okay, except that helmet came through, and so...
Right, alternate reality.
Right, Earth 27.
Earth 2. Or Earth 1. 2. I forget which is which.
Yes. So I don't know, that was a weird Easter egg to throw out there, that Jay Garrett's helmet comes flying through, and then he wants to get out, and of course, current Barry, flies through the wormhole and smashes the glass ship, because of course time travel has to be done in a glass bubble.
I love how that ship was designed specifically to withstand the you know, being battered in the wormhole, and yet Barry's fist can break it instantly.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's a ship designed to withstand extreme forces. Making out of glass makes perfect sense.
Well, technically, what was the difference between the current time and the time he came from, and how fast was he going? Because that's a very long time to wind up for a super punch.
Oh, that's true, too. All right, I'll give you that. Well, that was another thing, too, right? Because they allude to that in the episode when they're trying to build the time machine, and one of the panels they're working on, they're using tungsten or something, and they're saying, oh, that won't withstand the forces, the pressures.
The heat. It's a heat problem. And they say to, like, put cobalt dust on it as a insulator.
Right, right. And it's like, okay, well, that's cool. But again, the bubble was made of glass.
Glass is a good insulator as well. And you don't know that it's actually made out of glass. It could be clear aluminum.
That's true. That's true. Good old Scotty could have come back from the future and given them the formula, because who knows? He might have been the guy who created it.
So
he could get the whales back into the future. Oh, wait. So what were you going to say, John?
What else? I mean, well, first off, that hat, that was just too blatant to be just an Easter egg.
Right.
Well, it was one of several Easter eggs, though. There were other Easter eggs that we haven't looked at or talked about yet. There were several visions that the Flash saw as he was running through the Speed Force, such as seeing Caitlin Snow as Killer Frost, seeing the Flash Museum in the future. So he was seeing all sorts of things from past and future as he was running through the Speed Force.
Yeah, but pardon the pun, those flashed by really quick.
Yes, he did.
That hat was just kind of like, you know, just really in your face.
Yeah.
No, and I do think they're going to, I think that's a definite hint that they're going to bring Jay Garrick into the show somehow. And again, it could be an alternate reality where Jay Garrick is the Flash, you know, and it could be present time.
Maybe they will somehow explain that he's been around all this time, has the Speed Force, and will become Barry's new mentor.
There you go. That's actually I like that. I'll give you that one, Ben. Right, because now that Wells is gone.
At least this version of Eobard / Wells is gone. They've said that that Tom Cavanaugh could come back next season. Personally, I hope if he does, it will be as the true Harrison Wells form, maybe from an alternate reality.
We shall see.
I think we've had enough of Harrison Wells masquerading as the
Right. And the poor actor who played the actual
Eobard Thawne.
Eobard Thawne. Yeah, like he was, you know, he was in what, two scenes? Well, and then
he got all of 2 minutes of screen time.
Screen time, yes. Poor guy gets on one of the biggest shows of the season and he has 2 lines and 2 minutes of screen time. You know, like let's actually, if they bring back the Reverse Flash, which they will find a way to do it.
I think I read somewhere he actually, like, they didn't even make him his own suit. He had to wear Tom's suit, which didn't quite fit him. It was a little snug. So.
See? Now the poor guy's going to spend all summer on a diet trying to lose weight.
Yeah. And,
you know, they're going to give him his own suit. But yes, So he comes back, he destroys the time machine, they get into a fight, and Eddie, being the loose cannon that he is,
Looses his cannon on himself.
Looses his cannon on himself. Which is funny, when I watched the scene and I heard the gunshot, and Reverse Flash is, like, slowing down at that point, I thought he wasn't paying attention and actually got shot by Joe or Eddie, you know?
Yeah.
So then when they turn and they said...
That would have made more sense, honestly. Like, I mean, I guess it would have been hard for him to, like, he probably could have survived that somehow, but with super fast healing. But you get a couple shots in him when he's not paying attention, problem solved, and no one you like has to die.
Right, and he doesn't have Spidey sense. There's no such thing. So, he could have been shot and killed, and it would have just ended everything right there.
Yeah, as fast as he is, the speed of sound is slower than the bullet.
So, one other Easter egg. Was it true Kendra Saunders was in this somewhere?
Right, right. So after he shoots himself, and he's erased. Eddie dies, and his future grandson is erased from existence. A black hole, a singularity opens up over Central City, right above the particle accelerator. And what?
Right. I find that a little bit convenient cinematography, that it starts in the particle accelerator and then grows quickly and is then above it, but in a way that they don't, like, it's almost as if it translocated without actually destroying the particle accelerator in the process.
It's a timey-wimey thing.
Well, here's the thing, too, right? Because they say that he opens up a wormhole to travel through time. And then they're saying the thing above the city is a black hole. Well,
right,
they're two different phenomena.
It's unstable.
Okay.
It's a stability issue.
Right. So, and then all the citizens of the city are look up into the sky at this event horizon, and one of them is Hawk Girl.
Yes.
Yes.
She's really good with arrows. No, wait, that's not right.
No, she likes using a giant spiky ball.
Yes, a mace. Everywhere.
Yes. So.
Yes. Lots of women like to use mace.
They do, but her mace is a little bit different than others.
Yes.
A little bit more impact.
A little more.
Yeah.
A lot more crying.
Definitely hard on the eyes. Yeah.
But yeah, so they're obviously setting up the nose, for
and the face.
Heroes of Tomorrow? Is that what it is?
Legends of Tomorrow.
Legends of Tomorrow, that's what it is. And of course, Barry, in his infinite wisdom, decides he's going to be the hero and close the black hole by running really fast.
Yeah.
Yes, let's solve everything by running really fast. Yes. It is the Flash, I know, but I do have a twinge of issue with that scene at the end.
Because science.
So here's my thing. He runs up the building. I'm okay up to that point. He's jumping from piece of debris to piece of debris. Okay, I'll give
which
it
is
to
awesome.
A point. Which is pretty awesome. But then he's fairly essentially just running in circles in thin air at the end of that episode, and I feel that was a little bit loose.
Yeah, there are certain things you don't want to pull with the kind of... I mean, okay, 10, 15, 20 years ago, oh, yes, he's running around, and he's going to run around real fast right next to the singularity, the black hole. These days, most geeks, after Stargate and Doctor Who and all these other, the plethora of science fiction fantasy that's out there, we all basically know that the closer you get to a black hole, the slower time runs, and running real fast is not going to be able to solve anything with a black hole.
Right. We've all seen things like Interstellar and all these
I haven't seen Interstellar.
You should, actually. It's pretty good. It's kind of slow and depressing, but it's a good movie.
Yes. But no,
I get your point.
But like you said, Ben, there's nothing physical that he's getting traction against to
I mean,
in a reverse circle.
Right. You can maybe argue that he's still running on debris. But at most, like, because with the equal and opposite reaction type thing, he's got to be running twice as fast as he actually intends to go just to get anywhere, because he keeps constantly pushing off of other debris and pushing that debris away from him as he does so.
Right.
But it's not to mention the fact that time is slower, mass is greater the closer you get to a black hole. So not only needs to be running twice as fast, he has to be like 10 times as strong.
He essentially has to be running 100 times as fast.
I will.
Yeah.
I will say that black holes to date are still theoretical. We have not actually seen one that exists in nature yet. So maybe they do have a ring inside them that you can run against. We don't know, right?
I think we know better than we do.
It's all based on mathematics, guys. So come on. I mean, it could, there's actually a rubber ring for the Flash to run on in there.
Yep.
Yeah.
The black hole treadmill.
Exactly. Thank you. See?
It's a lesser known scientific principle.
Well, you know what? Who knows? Maybe maybe the first episode of the second season will introduce Rip Hunter. I'm here to save your ass.
Right.
Running ain't going to do nothing against this child.
I don't know what the hell you think you're doing, but I'm going to save your ass.
Well, here's the thing. Okay. Going back to the causality issues and timelines, everyone who has seen Legends of Tomorrow's preview knows that Rip Hunter, that's the character's name, when he introduces himself, he says he's a time cop. His job is to make sure that the timeline stays intact.
Mm-hmm. Right. All except for the one that his grand-grandpappy messed up.
Well.
Because Rip Hunter is a descendant of Booster Gold.
Who decided to
go back in time and change things.
Maybe that's his penance for his grandfather's sins.
Well, okay, but I actually don't think I've ever read anything with Rip Hunter in it. But it sits there and makes you go, well, wait a minute. They've really screwed with the timeline in The Flash. So is that what causes him to come back in the first place? Like, okay, you guys did this, and then you did this, and then you did this. We're going to erase all of that.
Go ahead, Ben.
I was going to say, I think coincidentally, the Rip Hunter time cops only existed in the reality that's left. They didn't come to fruition in any of the other alternate timelines.
There we go.
To come back and clean things up.
And here I was wondering if Barry was going to come back from his little jaunt in time, and the Arrow would finally be called the Green Arrow and have a different costume, and Superman
and
Wonder Woman would
have
be more childish.
Died.
Yeah,
I actually read a theory not too long ago where they were talking about the Arrow, and they said the reason they're not calling him the Green Arrow is because he's not actually the Green Arrow. I can't remember what it was.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Well, I can see that he hasn't really become that person yet. Like, right. He's sort of still transforming, you know, as far as a hero. And I think given the way that things ended, he's definitely not going to come back as the same person as he has been the last three seasons.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, anyone who goes off for a manic weekend with Felicity Smoke does not come back the same person.
Not at all. Especially if she has that red dress with
her. Oh, of course, the red dress.
Thank you.
Bringing it back just for you, Don.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to be really... Yeah. If are they going to do the same thing like they did in Superman with, what was the... Oh, God, why can't I remember her name now?
Lois Lane? No.
The one in Superman... the one in Smallville... That was a character created just for that series.
Chloe Sullivan?
Chloe, yes.
She was the Felicity Smoke of that show, yes.
Yes, I'm just hoping that Felicity Smoke does not get killed in this somehow. Or
she doesn't get Chloe'd?
Well, Chloe wasn't killed.
No, didn't get killed off. Although she came close to getting, you know, I don't know, excised out of there a few times.
Yes, a lot of times they made it look like she was going to die, and I would go online after those cliffhanger episodes, and people would be like, pissed. Finally!
No! I saw some. From what I saw, yeah. Everybody liked her.
Well, yeah, but
a lot of people. She was always one of my favorite characters. I like her better than Clark Kent, actually, on that show.
So we're left with a black hole in the sky.
Yes.
And Barry running in circles to stop it. And
a lot of questions with no answers.
A lot of questions with no answers. And the only thing is that the producers, the showrunner and the producer of the show, main producer of the show, did an interview shortly after it aired. And we're like, well, yes, we're excited for next season because we now have a new way to introduce different characters. Aside from, you know, the particle accelerator created villains and whatnot. And basically, so they're hinting at the concept of the multiverse. Which is funny because, I mean, yes, they have the multiverse again in DC's comic books, but that was one of the things with the New 52 was they were resetting back to one universe, when they did it. And the crossover storyline was Flashpoint get from the mess that they were in. Back to resetting to one universe. So now we've taken Flashpoint, turned it on its ear, and went, well, we've had one cohesive TV universe. Boom. Here we're going to go.
Yeah.
Let's mess it up.
So considering that, is it, I've heard rumors, I've read this several places. Is Tom Welling actually going to
show up?
Pop up on The Flash?
I believe one of the first places you've heard that rumor was on this podcast, John.
Yeah, maybe. But no. It's, no, we talked about it, but since then I've seen some things like KryptonSite says that it's not true, but that was in March, and then in April there's a bunch of references that it is true, and, you know, if there's a black hole, who better to help than Superman?
What do you think? He can fly really fast.
Yes, there you go.
So essentially the theories, the rumors... is the only way that Warner Brothers agreed to have Superman in it is if it was an alternate reality Superman. So the idea was...
Like Supergirl's cousin?
Yes. So they'll have Superman show up, and it would be Tom Welling, but he would be from one of these alternate universes. And they did say that something was going to happen in the season finale that left the world open for alternate universes, which... the actor who played Cisco, it was an interview with him, where he kind of said that also would be the first time you would see Killer Frost and Vibe would be from one of these alternate realities.
Yeah, I don't like that though. I'm not sure I like that explanation for where they show their powers. I'd rather see a storyline that turns them in that direction in the current canon, in the current reality.
Well, right, but could it be that in an alternate reality, they run into these versions of themselves, and they're like, oh, God, we can't let that happen to ourselves, and then it happens anyway to them.
It's sort of the self-fulfilling prophecy kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's not like Vibe is typically a villain, though. He's typically a good guy.
Right. Killer Frost is just misunderstood.
Yes.
Well,
the Caitlin Snow version of Killer Frost was generally misunderstood. She was a pyrovore, a heat vampire of sorts that was created through an accident, and she didn't really want to hurt people.
See, there you go. That's what I'm saying.
And she actually was actively seeking out Firestorm as sort of a cure for her condition.
Right, and it's just convenient that they're married now.
Yes. He is her battery.
Yes. So I think, you know, it all works for me.
But here's the difference between the Marvel and the DC universe. So in this DC universe that they're building, you've only got the heroes that have been mentioned in these few series that they've got. In the Marvel universe, they're acknowledging that all these other heroes and villains exist through quips and stuff. And there's no, I mean, like, at this point, somebody should have heard something about Superman or Batman or Wonder Woman, right? Maybe not Wonder Woman, but at least one of the other two.
Yeah.
Right? But there's nothing. There's
right.
No,
not even a coy reference that there's some, you know, dark vigilante in Gotham kind of thing.
Yeah. Or why, like, you know, why don't you save the city like that guy in blue tights does over at Metropolis?
Right. Yeah.
That is an interesting point, and it's true, right? Like, how come the most powerful being on the planet would have to be mentioned in passing at some point, and he hasn't yet?
And you would think that, because you have to figure, you're dealing with a world where heroes exist, right?
Yes.
If the Flash exists, so there's two ways you can look at it. One is, Flash exists, and he's one of the first of these types of heroes to pop up. Uh-huh. In which case, everyone across the country should have some sort of intrigue about him, who he is, and what he can do.
Right.
And that doesn't seem to be the case. Alternately, he's not the first, in which case there'd be less interest because there are other heroes in other places, in which case we should have heard about them, which we haven't.
True. No, and that's actually an interesting point, too. Like, you would have news people from all around the world, like, you know, because the Flash didn't hide long in the show, you know?
Right.
They know he exists now, and he was working with the cops and blah, 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 that there would be at least the chief of police would be having conferences every once in a while with news from around the world, like, okay, tell us about the super speedster guy.
And maybe that's what we'll see in season two in the beginning, because of this event, because of the singularity and Flash actually successfully managing to close it and keep it from destroying
by running real fast
Central City by running really fast in the air. Maybe we will see people flocking, like press flocking from all over the country to Central City to find out more about this character. Who knows?
Possibly.
If we don't, my suspension of disbelief might start to snap.
They did mention one other superhero, though. Didn't they say they were trying to get the villains out of
there was a reference
to Green Lantern.
To Green Lantern, because they went to Ferris Air in Coast City,
which was abandoned
and closed down because they had lost a test pilot there, which would have been Hal Jordan.
Right. So
But he would have shown up. I mean, it's not like the Guardians kept him off Earth for very long before he was sent back.
Well, and that's know? And the thing is in that there's a longstanding thing in the DC universe where the Green Lantern and the Flash are friends. So that kind of
Green Lantern and Green Arrow are friends. They've teamed up a lot too.
Yes, yeah. In fact, there's even a whole series, Green Arrow, Green Lantern comic books.
Yeah.
That was started by Denny O'Neil back in the 70s. But
Team Envy.
Team Envy.
Well, they're both green.
Yes, but I mean that makes me wonder that too. Like, will we see a version of Green Lantern in the TV show? You know, I mean, it's funny, like, you know.
I mean, maybe Diggle will change his last name to Stewart.
Oh, God. No. Now,
a lot of people keep saying that.
I know. I think it's a stretch.
It's not going to. That can't happen. It's just, you know, they've got to know that the writers have to know that there is more chance for telling a much more interesting story when not everybody comes from the same place and knows everybody else. You know, if everybody grows up knowing each other, there's not much room for bringing new, interesting storylines and new, interesting perspectives into the writing. They're just, you know.
But if they already know each other, it makes it easier for them to become the super friends. I mean, the Justice League.
Oh, yes, yes. I'm sure Killer Frost will fit right in with the Justice League.
Yes.
Because, you know, her longstanding friendship with most of the main characters makes it more almost impossible to actually tell a story in which it's believable that she suddenly decides to start killing people.
Well, you know, heck, though, so does Captain Cold and Heatwave fit in nicely with, you know, being superheroes as well.
They weren't superheroes, yeah. Though.
There's limited storylines, yes, where they do, or at least Captain Cold teamed up with one of the, you know, the Justice League teams. But I think, honestly, to an extent, as much as I am kind of looking forward to this Legends of Tomorrow show, I get the impression that that show exists. Because basically, you know, the team of guys who are trying to come up with these different shows said, who can we use that you don't plan on using in the movies that we can put in a team? And that's the list they got. It's like, we're probably never going to do anything with Hawkgirl. And we're definitely not likely to do anything with Rip Hunter. And no one cares about the Atom. And so they basically started with that and said, all right, well, who can we tack on to that? And thus we have Legends of
the Well, and that's, I mean, that's the thing too, right? Like, if they do try to do Green Lantern again, are they going to do which version? You know, are they going to do, my mind just went blank.
John Stewart, Guy, Hal Jordan,
Guy Gardner. Hal Jordan, John Stewart, or
Kyle Rayner.
Guy Gardner. Yeah. I mean, there's been so many.
Alan Scott?
Alan Scott, the original. Right. Yeah. So it's like, if they're not going to do Guy Gardner, why not give us Guy Gardner? Oh, wait, they did that in the 90s.
God, that's right. Oh, man. Yes. Thanks for bringing that up.
Everyone wants to forget that Justice League TV show.
Let's just, you know, if we can't do it right, let's do it completely wrong. Just, I want to see Lobo and Guy Gardner together. Let's
just do that. All right. But that's my thing. Okay. So we sit there and we're like, Warner Brothers has come out. Warner Brothers and DC have come out to the movie universe and the TV universe are two separate things. Even in the fact that one of the things I wanted to bring up is we're going to get a solo Flash movie, but we're going to get a different actor,
right,
portraying the Flash.
Again, proving that DC knows not what they are doing.
Well, they know what they're doing. They just don't know that what they're doing is stupid.
Oh, there you go. Which, you know, everyone likes Grant Gustin at this point. So, I mean, no one would be opposed. And I'm sure he wouldn't be opposed to putting that suit on for the big screen.
Of course.
But no, they're separate. So, okay, well, then if they're separate, they're separate. So any character should be open to the TV show and any character should be open to the movie because they're separate universes. Let us do what we want. Oh, no, we can't do that because we're going to confuse people. Well, wait, hold on. But you're going to have a Flash movie and a Flash TV show. Well, they're separate. Yeah. Wait, hold on.
And well, yet Marvel was able to turn Guardians of the Galaxy into a box office smash. DC just...
Honestly, I think the reason that paradigm exists is all about timing. They managed to get the Flash spinoff greenlit and going before WB, you know, DC really knew where they were going with this whole, Justice League movie universe. I think they didn't know. I don't think they had that nailed down and on paper. I don't think they had the contracts. The ink wasn't dry yet. So there was a narrow window that they managed to get approval for the Flash show before they knew what was going on. And that's the only reason that it exists. And it's successful, so they're not going to shut it down. They're going to let it go. But, you know, if timing were different, I'm sure that we might be in a different place than we are right now.
Right. No, and that's the thing. My issue was, okay, if you're going to do a Flash movie, don't do Barry Allen then. We're doing Barry Allen on the TV show. Do Wally West. And the latest thing I've heard is, no, it is a Barry Allen story in the movie. And it's like...
Well, because he's essentially the original. It should be Barry Allen in the movie.
No. But if you want to do the original, do Jay Garrick.
No, but no one wants to see Jay Garrick.
Flash Noir, right? Yes.
No one wants to see that.
But what I'm saying is that, I don't know. I don't think it's a good idea. So, you know, I think that's actually, that's something I want to do.
You know what? Actually, I want to say, you know why they shouldn't have Jay Garrick on the big screen?
Why?
Because he has a cape.
Oh, before we wrap it up. Nice try. I want to do a listener poll this week. boys and girls. So obviously the whole separate universe thing is going to hit ahead when the Flash movie comes out, because there are fans of the show. The show's doing very well in the ratings. We all love Grant Gustin playing Barry Allen. So if you think that this is a good idea to keep them separate, let's see. Hashtag, what do you guys think?
Separate but equal.
Okay. Hashtag separate but
equal. Oh, wait. That already equal. That already exists.
That might hurt us.
We don't want to promote that one.
DC flaws.
Hashtag. Okay. So hashtag DC genius. If you think keeping it separate is a great idea and it's going to work out fine. Hashtag DC stupid. if you think
be a clusterfuck.
If you think it's all kind of come to a head. I don't think clusterfuck's a good hashtag. So I think
I didn't say that. I was just saying what that hashtag means.
Okay. So yes. If you think it's going to all become a big clusterfuck and it's going to end up hurting them in the long run. Yes.
For the older boys and girls, do either hashtag certifiable genius or hashtag authentic wacko.
No, don't confuse them.
Right. DC genius or DC stupid.
Yes.
Yeah, it works.
Wile E. Coyote. Super genius. And actually, that's what I was thinking of, too, when Barry was running against nothing in the sky. You know, if they could do it in the old Looney Tune cartoons.
That's true.
They can do it on national television.
So that's how it all works. The Flash's powers are much like Wile E. Coyote's powers.
Yes.
Or really more like Roadrunner's powers.
Like who?
Roadrunner.
Oh, yes.
Wile E. Coyote had no good luck.
No, none at all. Or maybe they're a little bit like, who was the original Green Lantern again?
Alan Scott.
Alan Scott. Maybe a little bit like Alan Scott, you know, who he had a cape.
Yes.
Yes.
But, alas.
Sometimes it gets caught in the door. So, on that note, boys and girls, don't let your cape get caught in the door. Have a good week.
Okay, now it's my turn. Okay, what are you doing? Taking over Dad's mic so I can be part of superhero speak. Duh. Well, there are better ways to join the conversation. Really? Like what? Well, you can interact with them on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and even Pinterest. Wait, people use Pinterest? And what's Google+? I don't know, something to do with circles. Anyway, you can also see all their posts, including comic book videos, on their website, where you can also sign up for their mailing list. Cool! Yep, are you still going to try to hijack Dad's mic? Nope, I'm going to try to answer the Stump the Geek question. Nice. So who do you think would win in a fight between Rainbow Dash and Squirrel Girl? That's a hard one. Oh no, Dad's waking up. Run for your lives!
Oh, what are you guys doing? That cape's gonna get caught in the door.
Ow.